first, welcome to Global Conversations. And can you just tell us how did you start BioWire Network and why the need? You know, nowadays, like, freedom of speech is very privileged, I feel. You know, the more people start talking about the truth, the more it's being like subdued. So what is your journey towards starting BioWire and the objective of starting an independent news network in between all these paid media?
Well, the journey was is that I've worked in independent media for nearly a decade, and it's a new sector in many ways, because before, media was too expensive to start. You know, you had to be able to print at a large scale, and it was very expensive to start. The internet allowed things to occur, and sort of internet 1.0, you had an organization called indiemedia.org, and the anti-globalization movement used it. That kind of collapsed with the rise of Facebook. Yeah. People started to think, well, how do we do this? And how do we make a living doing it? And how do we reach people doing it? And those conversations have been going on now for about 10 years. And one of the other things is, how do we know what's truthful and what's not? So those are the conversations we're having. In 2016, I founded an organization called the Media Fund, and it was about getting truthful independent media together and getting it money, because we need to fund independent media. You know, otherwise it's not independent. If we don't pay for it, someone else does, and we know they don't have our interests at heart. So out of that grew the BioWire Network. It was a project that the Media Fund started, and the project was, how can we put all independent media in one place and make it easy for everyday people to access all different kinds of independent media that they can trust, that they know is truthful or as factually accurate as you can be. That's why we founded it, and that's how.
All right. So how do you get the content? Like, are there any reporters or people directly kind of give you the news, or how does it work?
So we work with independent media publishers. These independent media publishers are largely part of the Independent Media Association in the UK. And we're reaching out, and we'll start making these same connections around the world. And they basically have to meet two criteria. One is that they are independently financed. That means they are not reliant on state money from the government or from billionaires or multinational advertisers. Secondly, they have to be factually accurate. And to gauge that, we say you either have to be regulated by Impress in the UK, which is the highest standard regulator in the UK, or you have to be members of the National Union of Journalists and be responsible to their ethics board. So that's how we get the content. We produce a bit ourselves to the same standards as well. We have our own journalists, but our content comes from other independent media publications that already exist.
All right, that is interesting. So what is this blockchain thing that you have mentioned? You know, how does that work? Like, how is the funding, especially? How does that go?
Well, the funding and the blockchain are slightly different things. So I'll tell you about the blockchain, which everyone hears the words, don't know what it means. I'm not a techie guy. Yeah. I didn't, you know, it took a lot of learning, but the people who are producing it were like, look, this is how you're going to have to produce news in the future, because we're in an age, in the UK, for instance, we've had the chief advisor to the government going back and changing his blog to pretend that he knew COVID was coming all along and had been advising things that he never had. Right. You know, he lied. He changed his blog, and people found out about it because of a good investigative journalism. Mm-hmm. But that's happening every day. Mm-hmm. The national press, for instance, the Daily Mail, is regularly printing things that are untrue, and they're not printing apologies, not printing corrections. Mm-hmm. They're just changing what's on the website after the damage has been done. Mm-hmm. Now, on the blockchain, it's not possible. It's not possible to do that. You can change things, but every correction, every change will be publicly visible to everyone. Everyone will know what you've changed. So you have to own your mistakes, because the basis of good journalism, the basis of good news, is that you don't get everything right all the time, but that when you make a mistake, you rectify it. You're honest about what you've got wrong, you know? And that's what we need to change. That's what the blockchain really does. It provides a permanent record that is immutable. It is unchangeable, right? That record will always be seen, what you did. You can't pretend you didn't do something after the fact when you've already done the damage. Now, the blockchain is also useful because of one of the technologies that's on it. This isn't the only one, but cryptocurrencies.
Yep.
And what cryptocurrencies allow, obviously people hear about Bitcoin, they hear about things that you can speculate. You can put some money on, you can maybe make some more money back. Maybe people are losing money. Is this a scam? You know, who knows? That's what people have sort of heard about it. That's it. The important thing about cryptocurrency is that you can do very small transactions, a penny, you know, a very tiny amount, frictionless, with no charges. In the UK, you cannot, like, you lose on charges. Say if you use PayPal, you lose about 20% of your transaction plus a 20p charge, right? Like, so if you, so what we want to encourage is micro-tipping. You read a good article, you give it a penny, you give it 10p. But that would be no good if they lost 20p of that 10p, if the charge was more than the tip. We want everyday people, working class people, poor people, to be able to own the information they get, to reward the providers of that information. And to do that, we need cryptocurrency and a simple tipping system that's frictionless, that works easily for everyone. So that's what blockchain provides, both that permanent record and that ability to give small, very small amounts of cash to things that you love.
Okay, all right. So like, as you're saying that people can, you know, pay for the news, or they can donate. So what I was thinking was, nowadays people use a lot of social media, and you know, you really don't need journalists to go and run around and take the news, because people are already using their cameras or something, if something goes wrong or they capture something. So are you going to introduce something like they can sell it to you, like a kind of a network where they sell their news and, you know, you kind of put it on your website? Is there a thing like that?
Well, yes. So that would be like a press association or a stringers network. And there are discussions about that. But at the moment, that's not what BioWire is going to do. We're going to work with publications that are already trustworthy, that already meet a code of conduct. We're in an age where there are deep fakes. Their citizen journalism has already proven to be brilliant in some regards, but also problematic in the others. If you look at, say, the conflict in Syria, right? Like, there are stories coming from many different sides. They're taken on camera phones. And what you need is a standard of journalism and a regulator to at least give you a decent chance of knowing what's factually accurate. In fact, the British government invests a lot in disinformation campaigns in other countries, and every state does, getting quote-unquote citizen journalists to produce media that undermines the Cuban government or the Venezuelan government or the ISIS, you know. And you can decide whether that's legitimate or not. That's your own choice, but it is official state policy of all of the major imperial powers. So citizen journalism has to be mechanisms to ensure factual accuracy. And I think that's what people forget in an age of where you can produce your own news, is they think, well, we can just get it from everywhere and information should be free, man. No, you know, information which we rely on for knowing where our food comes from, where our water comes from, how polluted our air is, I mean, the fundamentals of life, it costs to make sure that that's factually accurate. And someone has to pay for it. And as I said before, at the moment, multinational corporations, billionaires and governments are paying for it. And they don't always have our interests at heart. It's funny, it's hard to believe that, but sometimes the only way to really ensure that that information that is so vital, it's right up there now with, you know, with food, water and shelter. Because we're not going to know whether we can get food, water and shelter without the information, has to be paid for by us, because otherwise we're not going to have any control over it. A good example of that is, say, what happened in Flint, Michigan in the US, you know, like the national US media and even the local media covered up poisoning their own population. And we know that happens all over the place all the time. If there was more independent media there, if it was owned by the people and not multinational corporations or the government, maybe the information would have got out quicker and it would have saved lives.
Right. So what, according to you, are the tips to identify fake news? How do we differentiate between the fake and truth in social media right now? Like, any criteria for that?
Yeah, so first off, Bywire News has actually created a fake news detector. So, you know, and it's in the early stages, but it's already working at a very high level of accuracy. So soon you'll be able to utilize that, and that's going to be a great additional thing. This is the problem with working with techie people. They're always trying to solve everything. Yeah. So we've got a lot of products on the way. But there's two key things, really, that's important. Pay up and regulate the media. These are the two key things. When people get asked this question, how do we detect fake news? What do we do about fake news? A lot of people talk about, we need to be careful about our news diet. We need to choose our sources carefully. We need to increase education. All of this would be great, right? Like, but people don't have that time. They don't have the education level. I don't have the education level, right? And I'm an expert, more or less, in this field. Mm. I can't sift through everything all the time. Mm. So we have to know the sources that we get information from are trustworthy, and trust in the media has gone through the floor, quite rightly, because a lot of news organizations have not only been lying, but they've been lying by omission. They've been focusing on things that are irrelevant or oppositional to things that we need to make our lives better and make the world better. A good example of that is the climate crisis. Any responsible media organization in the UK would report about that as the first thing all day, every day. That would be the number one topic every day, because it is a species threatening event that is killing hundreds of thousands of people now, right? And we've seen through COVID as well in Britain, you know, the British press do not ask the government any questions that hold them to account for mistakes that they're making, do not hold them to account for mistakes they have made and or lies that they have told, that they are on the record telling lies, and they are refusing to call them a liar or reference their lies when they're questioning them. So we know the media is not working. We know it's broken at even the most established level. So what can you do? You can pay up. You can start paying for your media, and those publications that you can pay for, those independent sources, are the ones that you know will be beholden to you, not to some special interest. And, you know, you've got to pay up. You've got to stump up to protect yourselves and your families. That's what you're doing it for. But secondly, regulation. No one likes this term. No one likes the idea of regulation. It's something that scares the shit out of people. I am, you know, my part of my political philosophy is libertarianism. I believe in as much freedom as we possibly can have on an individual level, right? But we need regulation around information. We need regulation around everything. There has to be rules to things. If you, in your local town, set up a market and said it's completely unregulated, people would lie, they would cheat, they would sell stolen goods, they would pollute the market, they would bully people, they would bully other competitors, they would not offer refunds. We know what an unregulated market looks like because we've seen them in lots of areas. And again, they've caused famines, they've caused pollution, disease, Bhopal. We've seen this time and time again. Unregulated markets in any arena create disasters for ordinary people and the environment. So with information, that's the key thing. In Britain, we had something called the hacking scandal. Mm-hmm. And that scandal suggested that there should be a regulator. Actually, opposed that completely. They set up their own regulator. It was called IPSO, and it was run by the former editor of the Daily Mail. The editor of the Daily Mail, who had three times more official complaints than any other publication in the UK, including The Sun, right? Terrible publication, terrible editor, right? Wrote a regulation, wrote the regulations that govern our press to this day, and they are not doing the job. Impress is the only hacking standard Leveson Inquiry regulator, and it regulates most of the independent media, a couple of hundred publications. So look for your regulator, look for Impress, and pay up. And go. And that's what, how you deal with fake news. It's not like checking your feed. The algorithms are going to screw you. Yeah. Make sure you are signed up to particular independent media publications. You can look for, in the UK, the Independent Media Association, IMA.press. Any of their partners are trustworthy publications. That's what you want to look for. Regulations that are, publications that are regulated.
Right. So has BioWire faced any opposition? Because since you're giving out the truthful news, there might be opposition from the paid media or other sources, you know. It happens all the time. So have you come across such things?
I think publications we worked with have. In 2017, after Jeremy Corbyn almost won the election, Nick Robinson of the BBC did a long and important speech, a media speech that was published by The Guardian and other places, that basically called left-wing publications or independent media publications alt-left and fake news. That's what he called them. Coming from the BBC, that's quite rich, and what we had to do as the media fund is publish a response to that. We know that they will attack us as soon as we become significant enough to threaten them, to threaten their existence, because they also know that people don't trust them. They don't believe in them. What they've done in the past 5 years particularly has destroyed the public's trust in the media, but on every side of the political spectrum. And they're not getting that back. And if a organization comes along that can replace them, they will attack it. So I've seen it already. We've had to respond to that already. We are prepared. We're not big enough yet to be considered that threat, but it will happen, and they will attack us viciously. And we've seen what they do to any proponent of positive change that would actually save lives or help people. The establishment, the elite, see it as directly a threat to them instead of potentially a bonus to them. This, what we're doing with BioWire, will save journalism. You know, a third of freelance journalists in the UK are on benefits. They don't earn enough to live. 60% of trained journalists work in public relations, because you can get trained as a journalist, you can't get a job. What we're doing will provide money, create journalism, bring back standards in journalism, and reinvigorate the sector. And they could see that as a positive, but they won't. They will attack us. They will describe us as alt-left, fake news, crypto conspiracy theorists. That will all come out. But as I say, we're regulated, trustworthy, and we're owned by the people who pay us, which is you, the public, everyday people.
So on a parting note, Thomas, what are your views on independent media in the future years, in the coming years? Are we going to be like, are we going to grow, or we are going to get shut down by the government? Like, already there are a lot of regulations by the government regarding freedom of speech, and, you know, people, even Twitter and Facebook, all of these are regulated nowadays. So what is your view as a parting note?
Well, Facebook and other places are regulated insofar as they don't want to be regulated. So they don't have proper regulations. They make deals with national governments to support the media that supports those governments. You know, like we saw it in Australia, the Murdoch press did a deal with Google because Murdoch gets to choose who's in power. Murdoch gets to choose who's in power in the US and in the UK, largely. The US a little less so, but in the UK and Australia, he chooses the government. That's it. We live in Murdoch-run countries. Yes, they are going to do deals with them, but organisations like BioWire are rising all the time. There's Odyssey and Library. There's other organisations. There's other networks, masses of them. They're built on the blockchain. They're outside of these networks. And the future for independent media is the only future. It is the only future of media. There will not be any media in 10 years' time, or 20 years time tops, that is not independent, at least partially, because the business models don't work. The BBC is being defunded by the government completely. The billionaire oligarchs who own the national press in the UK are losing tens of millions or hundreds of millions of pounds on their publications. And that was before COVID, right? There is no future for media other than independent media. How there will be lots of mistakes along the way, and there'll be publications that come and go. But the future is one of us working out those mistakes. And already, after 10 years alone, there's hundreds of publications that are producing quality that serves millions, tens of millions of people, and they're only getting bigger. And we will work ways round YouTube, Facebook, Google. Those platforms, by the way, will also die, because they've reached their apex and they're already on the downslope. They're losing millions of users because they're antithetical to what they were when they were started up. because you have to remain independent and people won't accept anything less. They don't know it. People aren't that politically like aware and say it out loud. But ultimately, there's a sense, there's a feeling, and people can feel that this isn't right. I don't really like this. I want something that feels more truthful, or more honest. And that will be independent media. And it's the only way, by the way, independent media, that we can have a financial model that works going forward. So the future is independent.
That is great. Your insights are wonderful, Thomas. Thank you for this lovely chat and this lovely time from a hectic schedule. Thank you for being on Global Conversations. And we hope that we get to hear from you soon for another session or a deeper session about independent media. Thank you so much for your love. Have a lovely day. Thank you.
You too. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.